Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, "You see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us." Hucksters preaching for profit, like this guy. Didn't know who that was. That is a traveling evangelist named Benny Hinn, whose big thing is bopping people on the forehead and watching them pass out, or bopping entire audiences in the forehead and watching them pass out, apparently. Lavish lifestyle. His quote-unquote parsonage is a $12 million beach house. His ministry bought him a personal jet. Several luxury cars. He has layovers between preaching for profit. He's been denounced by his denomination. He's been denounced by a lot of things. We'll get into more of that later. But Paul writes at the beginning of chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Paul was having trouble with hucksters in Corinth. People were coming into town with letters of recommendation. Credentials, if you will. These so-called credentialed people were coming in and preaching a false gospel. They were preaching against Paul. These false preachers were diminishing Paul's work that he was doing in the name of Jesus. But people saw these false preachers and they lost faith not only in Paul, but of the good news of Jesus. Today it's no different. False preachers like Benny Hinn come to us, credentials in hand from their denomination, or at least he started that way, welcomed into our churches and our communities, preaching a false gospel designed to separate you from your money. They diminish the work that you and I have been called to. For we're all called to God's ministry. But the world sees these guys. There's Google false preachers, and you'll get the list. Or false prophet. The world sees them because they're on TV. 2020 is following them. Dateline NBC. And they lump us in with them. The world sees them and thinks that they represent us. The Corinthians saw false preachers and thought that they represented Paul. Scholars think that the Jewish authorities may have sent some people in with false credentials to undermine Paul. But Paul's response, "I don't come to you with credentials. I'm not carrying a letter. I don't need them. My credentials are written on your heart. My credentials can be seen in the work that I've done here among you. My credentials can be seen in changed lives and growing ministry. But it's not because of me that these things have happened. I can do nothing. My work comes as a result of God. Verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. One of the ancient names for God is El Shaddai, which means the Almighty One. However, in some Jewish circles, El Shaddai could also mean the Sufficient One, meaning that God was sufficient for all of our needs. We need nothing but God. It's in this light, this view of El Shaddai, the Sufficient One, that Paul may have wrote, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. God is sufficient for everything. Today, it seems the false preachers, instead of saying God is sufficient for all, nothing comes from me, instead equivocate themselves with God. On December 1st, 1990, on TBN, Benny Hidd said, though we are not Almighty God Himself, nevertheless, we are now divine. That's a false preacher. We are to be a pleasing aroma in this world, like the scented candle, filling the room with its pleasant aroma. We are to be filling the world with love by doing God's work. We do God's work in His name so the world will see Him and not us. We are not God. God is God. The good news Paul was preaching to the Corinthians, the good news that has been brought to us today, is one of a new covenant under God, a new covenant with God. The old covenant, the law of the Old Testament, was that anything you did wrong was punished and removed you from God's favor. The only result was death. The old covenant took away hope. The new covenant gives hope. It says that there's nothing we can do short of accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior to gain God's favor. But all we need to do to gain God's favor is to accept the gift of salvation and become one of God's children. All we need to do is ask. We have hope of salvation. Verse 7. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? If the old covenant which took away hope, had glory. How much brighter is the new covenant, which gives hope and will last forever? How much brighter is that? Let's compare two different light sources. A light bulb and the sun. Light bulbs fill the room with light, but they require electricity to power them. They have to be turned on. Light bulbs will eventually fail. Remember, 3 weeks ago, was it? We had the blinking lights during the service. The light is artificial. It's incomplete. These light bulbs do not give the full spectrum of light. They can't be 100% relied upon. Light could burn out. It could be a power failure. You could buy the wrong kind of bulb. Guarantee if one of these burned out, they said, John, go get a bulb, I'd probably show up with the wrong bulb. This light is good, but it is not the complete good. The sun, on the other hand, is its own source of power. You can put out solar panels and get electricity to burn these lights from the light that the sun gives. Now, the sun is going to eventually burn out like a light bulb, but we can rely on it for the rest of our lives. Our children, grandchildren, to the billionth generation, can rely on it. And sometime further out than that, yes, the sun will eventually burn out. Odds are by then, the old world, the old heaven, the old earth will be wiped away, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So, I think we can rely on the sun. The light is real. It is complete. The sun can be relied upon to appear day in and day out, even in Portland. It's just behind clouds sometimes. Of course, if you live in Alaska, you gotta wait 6 months, but it will show up. Yet some people still choose artificial light over natural light when the sunlight is available. You know, they close the curtains and cover the windows, block out the sun, turn on the light bulbs. You know, like in this room. We have a reason so that we can turn the lights out to see the projector and see all those people falling down. I'm making no moral equivalency between artificial light and natural light. But the comparison is to say that some choose what is incomplete when they have the complete at hand. They choose the artificial when instead they can have the real. They choose a false god when it is so easy to turn to the real one. Paul wrote that the Jews chose to keep their old covenant, the fading light, even when they were presented with the bright shining glory of the good news of Jesus. That's the ministry of death Paul speaks of when he writes, when Moses brought down the Ten Commandments, his face shone so brightly because he had been in the presence of God, they had to cover his face with a veil. That brilliance soon began to fade. People started putting their own interpretation on the law. They soon began to disobey. Moses used the veil to hide the fact that the brilliance was fading. He knew what was going on. Today there are those who choose a false gospel over the true gospel of the new covenant. They'd rather follow those false preachers who say that we nearly need to speak what we want and name some scripture to back it up, and it will be ours. And if it doesn't happen, put more in the offering plate, and maybe it'll happen next week. They'd rather follow the false preachers that say that they are God and they should not be questioned. They have no hope because they've abandoned the one who gives hope. Paul continues, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ it is taken away. In other words, when they read the Old Testament, they're still reading it through that veil, so they don't see the glory. When we have Christ, we look at it through Christ, and we see that it was pointed directly at Him. We see the hope in the Old and the New Covenant. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You can have the veil removed from your heart as well, so that when you read or hear the Word of God, you can experience the freedom that is the Spirit of the Lord. You can be transformed into God's image so that through you, the world can see God as well. All you need to do is to accept what He has given freely. For God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you ready to have the veil removed? Are you ready for the real light instead of the artificial light? The next step is yours. Talk to one of the pastors. The rest of the steps we'll take together.